Record. Well, week four on patience. Have you found plenty of opportunities to work on patience in the last few weeks? I don't know if they're happening more often or if I'm more able to notice them, but I think I've been doing okay. Hope you have too. Is that okay? Okay. You know, we come to the end of one of these fruits of the Spirit when we're looking at it. The temptation is to try to put in every piece of advice that we can think of from all of the things that we've learned over the past 3 weeks looking at these ideas, and the truth is there's too much out there. Even if we just were taking all of the things that we saw in the life of Jesus last week, or just in the lives of the individuals we looked at 2 weeks ago, we looked at Abraham, we looked at Job, we talked about the Good Samaritan, there we could talk all day about things that we could be doing to try to be more patient. That would require a lot of patience. We're going to try not to talk all day. But I think from looking at some of these good examples, we can learn a few big ideas about how we can do this thing that so many of us struggle with. This slowing down and all the stuff that we've been talking about. So I have a few suggestions. First, I'm going to go back to an idea that we talked about 3 weeks ago when we introduced this section on patience. I think one of the things we have to do is we have to focus more on other people. Patience is about recognizing that value in others. But we started off by saying, what is the opposite of patience? It's I want. It's when we focus on what I want and what I need. And since we started with that lesson, I found another example of this. A couple weeks ago, Rachel and I started learning Spanish. We said we work a lot with classes at Emily City Schools, a lot of Spanish speakers, and want to do self-improvement. So, well, let's try this out. And we found a website, free, to try to learn a language. It's been a little while since I've learned a spoken language. You know, I've spent time studying dead languages and Bible classes and things like that. It's been since one semester of French in high school. So trying to get my bearings on learning a spoken language. And I found it interesting in the first few lessons, they taught us some very important words, they said. We learned how to say, I have, I need, I want. And as we get new vocabulary, it's, I have, I need, I want. And it's how can you know, navigate through travel and restaurants and all these different areas, how to communicate just what it is that I have and that I need and that I want. There haven't been too many, what do you need? There haven't been too many, what can I do for you? There's been a lot of, do you have? Then there's been a lot of, yo quiero, yo necesito. I'm done doing the Spanish stuff for now. But I think maybe there's some insight there in how do we learn how to navigate the world around us. Well, we need to make sure that we have our wants and our needs taken care of. We start to learn that there seems to be something about the way that we navigate the world that we focus on those needs. And that runs counter to what we're talking about with patience. Patience says there are how many billion people in the world that have their wants and needs? How many hundred million people in this country that have their wants and needs? Those matter. We need to make sure that we are not just focusing on what we want and what we need. Yes, we want to get to the front of this line sooner. We need that order that we just placed at the speaker that we're trying to get up to the window. But you know what? The car in front of us also needs the order. And there are wants and needs of many people around us. It made me think of we call him the rich young ruler that we meet in the Gospels. Of course, you could talk to somebody that they took a Bible class that there's no such thing as the rich young ruler because one guy calls him rich, one author calls him rich, one author calls him a ruler, one author calls him young, and we smack them together. But you know who I'm talking about. Rich young ruler was not a bad guy. Rich young ruler had a lot going for him. Do you remember his conversation with Jesus? What must I do to get eternal life? Not a bad question, but we do notice he's on the I want, I need, I have program here. And what does Jesus say he needs to do? He doesn't start with where he ran into a problem, right? He starts by naming some commandments. Some commandments that weren't a problem, right? He says, do not kill, do not steal, not commit adultery, honor your father and mother. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And those weren't a problem. You see him kind of going through this checklist. What do I need to do to get? It says, first, don't do bad things. I'm not spoiling it. Check. Don't do bad things. I'm good at not doing those bad things. Then it says, he gives a couple, I call them passive and slightly ill-defined emotions toward others. Honor your father, love your neighbor. He says, I generally think good things about my parents and my neighbors. I can do that. I can have passive and ill-defined good emotions about the people around me. Check. No problem. And then what does Jesus say? Take your stuff that you have. No, I said I wasn't going to do more Spanish. Stuff that you have. And give it to somebody else. Let others have the things that you deserve. This guy's not a bad guy. But he seems to have trouble getting past that roadblock. Jesus, in his follow-up teaching to his disciples who are around, he focused on the difficulty for the rich to be able to enter the kingdom. But at the same time, I see somebody who is not willing to give up all of these things that he's worked to get, that he has taken time to earn. He doesn't want to give that up. Patience says we need to be thinking of others. We need to recognize the value in the people around us. And we need to not be so focused on I have, I need, I want. And if we're focusing on others, I think the next thing we need to do is improve our listening. It is very easy to get impatient when you don't take the time to listen to those others who are around you. I was out at the camp for a while yesterday, and we had a group of, I'm not sure, middle school or high school students. And we were doing adventure challenge, team building stuff, things that I'm normally doing out there. And we have a particular particular challenge that we have the students do. I wished I had a picture I could have put it up there. I didn't think of that in time. It is a large platform placed on a telephone pole. It's our balance platform. Michaela, you've probably done it a few times, right? Yeah. I probably made you do it a few times. Right? And you get the whole group up on there, and they say, oh, this is going to be no problem. They start, you know, dividing up, and then the thing moves, and they're going all over the place. And it takes them a while to get to that count of 10 before they can move on from the challenge. And what fascinates me about this challenge is at some point, once they go for a while and usually start arguing and telling each other what they need to do and hollering, listen to me, and all of that, I say, this is now a silent challenge. Sometimes do silly story with, you know, pull out a little pink bear and say, you know, you have the bear of silence, you know. But this is now a silent challenge. And it's amazing how quickly they improve in limiting their talking. They are able to pay attention to each other. And when we talk afterwards, you know, why do you think this made a difference? And what made this challenge hard? And we talk about how when we are so focused on telling others what they need to do and trying to show how we have the right answer, that we end up having a whole group of people trying to do their own thing and a whole group of people trying to control everybody, and it doesn't work. I say, that challenge, unlike some of the other things that we do out at the camp, there's not a correct solution. There are several different good ways to accomplish that challenge as long as everybody is moving together. Probably not haven't done it the same way every time when you've done it, right, Michael? Summer camp staff got very good at it. They hold the record. But it's about being able to respond to each other. Stopping talking. This may be a strange example for our listening point, but listening is about more than just waiting for the other person to stop talking. It's about being able to respond to somebody by really paying attention to them. And in the case of this challenge, we see them be able to watch those movements and be able to move together. It's really something to see. And it reminds me of what James says in chapter 1, about the quick, slow, slow. Right? Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to be angry. In that James chapter 1, he talks quite a bit about listening. If you want to open up your Bibles to James 1, we'll look at a few things in that chapter. James 1, we'll start in 19. This is where it comes from. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. If you're listening and immediately forget, were you listening? All right, you've had that lesson with your kids, I'm sure. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And he talks about being careful about what you say, but listen. Look intently. Pay attention to the world going on around us. It is harder to get impatient and angry with somebody you're having to wait for if you understand what they're going through. If you understand what their needs are. We need to listen. And so, if we are focused on others, and if we're listening, one last thing I think we need to talk about this morning, if we're going to be patient, if we're going to learn how to understand the biblical idea of patience, maybe we just need to appreciate the wait. Appreciate the time that we have. You know, we talk about the problems in the world, and we talk about not wanting to be worldly, and we talk about the trouble and how someday all of it's going to be better, and someday we're going to paradise, and Lord, come quickly. But listen to the birds singing out there. There's problems in this world. But this world is also a blessing. God has given us so much that if we're so worried about getting to the next thing, if we're so worried about the next promotion or the next year or the next age, then we end up missing what's going on right now. Patience is not an easy thing. When I talk to groups about the balance challenge, we talk some about how we end up thinking of the people around us as obstacles. You know, when you're trying to find that balance and you say, that how many of you were thinking, if everybody would just do what I'm doing, then we'd be done with this already. Or if we'd be done with this if it wasn't for that person doing what they're doing. And we start looking at the people and the world around us as just things in our way that we just need to get past and get around. I think we've missed a lot of the gospel. We talked about the patience of Jesus last week and the way Jesus looked at people and the way Jesus took his time and the way Jesus, who had even more reason to want to get back to the Father because he'd been there before, took the time to do what needed to be done here. I think we have a lot to learn about patience. And I think if we take the time to think of others, to listen and pay attention to what's happening in the world around us, and to not take ourselves so seriously, even when things don't go the way that we think they're supposed to be going, and to appreciate the things that are happening. You know, You guys know Jared, and you might know he is never interested in what's happening to him right now. What he's rarely interested in what's next. He wants to know what's after that thing. What's next? What's next? And we say just be in the now. You know, it's rare that we close a sermon with a happy word from Ecclesiastes, because usually that's the downer book. We've talked about that. But it's, you know, think about the way that closes. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, or we've all got some piece of youth, I'm sure. Remember your Creator while you can, because the time's coming when you're not going to be able to appreciate things the way you could. Like I've said, each time we've ended one of these Fruits of the Spirit, I very much doubt that we have patience all solved now. I very much doubt that we are all good to go on this, and even though we're moving on to the next one next week, and we're going to look at kindness, we're going to keep working on patience. We're going to keep working on peace and joy and love, so that we can show these fruits of the Spirit to the people around us, and show the Spirit lives within us. So, we're going to wrap up for this morning, but we're going to keep learning. And if you come up with more ideas, I want to hear them. We need to hear. We need to be sharing about these ideas, even when we move on to an idea. So, this morning, if you have anything that you need to come up, if you have something that you need to share, you need to ask for prayers for, we need to hear it. This is family time. This is the time where we need to be holding each other up and helping each other out. So if there's anything you need this morning, come on forward. Let us know as we stand and sing.
Oh, to be loved, thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing.